Open your Bibles with me this morning to Hebrews chapter 11. And I know it's already after 12 noon. I didn't promise you a 1 hour service today. But I do plan on getting you out a little early because I know that most of you, your flesh rules you. And I'm convinced of better things concerning you, things that accompany salvation. Hallelujah. Your flesh doesn't rule you, does it? I could preach to you till 3 o'clock and you wouldn't be hungry. Come on. Hallelujah. I'm not going to keep you long, though. And then next Sunday, of course, we'll be back on our regular schedule starting at 10. Okay, so Hebrews 11. I want to read a passage here and then we'll get into this. Hebrews 11, starting in verse 8. It says, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, was born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore." Skip down to verse 17 with me. "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'In Isaac your seed shall be called,' concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones." I was reading this the other day, and these three phrases stood out to me. We find one of them in verse 8. It says, "when he was called." And then in verse 17, we find the phrase, "when he was tested." And then in verses 21 and 22, we find the phrase, "when he was dying." And I got a little inspiration from the Lord. I saw that, you know, God gives us faith for every season of our life. When he was called, when he was tested, when he was dying. Those are all different seasons of our life. Those are all different seasons that each of us are living in or will encounter. And the good news is, and what I want to encourage you with today, is God gives us faith for every season. In every season of life that we may be going through, we can have faith in God, faith that will cause us to overcome, faith that will cause us to press through any obstacle, faith that will cause us to stand, faith that will cause us to be victorious, faith that will cause us to be fruitful and to accomplish the plan of God in whatever season of life that we find ourselves in. And so I want to talk about these seasons, and there's a couple of more that are listed here in Hebrews 11 that we'll throw in as well. But faith for every season of your life. Praise God. That's what we're talking about this morning. So the first one is faith for the season of calling. Faith for the season of calling. And that's the first part of the passage we read there, verses 8 through 12 about Abraham. It says that by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called. When he was called, that was the season of calling in his life. And Abraham was called to accomplish a specific purpose and plan. God raised him up, didn't he? God called him, didn't he? God gave him an invitation. Hey, you want to be a part of something big? God said, I want to bless all the families of the earth. I want to choose one man to do that. You want to be a part of something big? And so Abraham said, yes, sir, I think I'll be a part of that. And he answered that calling. He responded to that calling, to that invitation from God. You know, each of us, God gives us a calling. I'm not just talking about someone being called to the ministry. Each of us has a calling. Each of us will live through. And these seasons are overlapping and interchanging, and it's not like, okay, well, that season of my life is over now. And, you know, I'm not saying, don't want you to think about it in those terms. But in every season that you may be going through, God gives you faith for that season. And the faith that we have, we will have to respond to God a little bit differently according to what season that we're in our lives. But this season of calling is such a special time. It's such a special moment in each of our lives. I don't want you to miss the season. If you're living in a season of calling, don't miss it. Don't miss it. This season of calling is an opportunity. It's an open door where God says, I'm giving you an opportunity for your life to break out of the mundane, for your life to break out of just existing and just, you know, just living, just surviving, and raise you up to a whole new level. Raise you up to a higher place in life. Raise you up to accomplish things and to be something that you never dreamed before that you could be. You know, God gives us the opportunity to do that. Hallelujah. And He opens up opportunities. It's a season of calling. And to really live our lives for the plan of God and the purpose of God. A lot of people, as you look around, you know, they're maybe just going through life. But it's so wonderful to live with a sense of purpose, isn't it? Yes. It's so wonderful to live with, I'm living my life answering the call of God. Living for the purpose of God, doing what God has called me to do. Hallelujah. Each of us have that. Don't miss your season of calling. Amen? Hallelujah. It's not always cut and dried either. Faith is required in this season of calling. Obedience is required. The Bible says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called. Obedience is required. We have to obey God to step in to the fullness of the calling that He has for our lives. We have to make up our mind, you know, I'm going to obey God. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Well, faith is required to do that. You cannot obey God without faith. Amen. Faith is required to be able to obey God. Amen. So, and then the Bible says that Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. Some people want it all laid out in front of them. Some people want every step. Okay, now what's, you know, it blows my mind sometimes. Now God could give you that, I guess, but, you know, people that have 25-year plans written out for their life. If you have that, more power to you. That's fantastic. I've just not been able to get there. Amen. But some people want it all laid out, every step before this. Well, I'm not taking any step. Now, I believe in planning, and it's wise to plan. We should be, I like to have a plan. Amen. And I like to know what I'm doing and where I'm going. And, you know, Jeremy and I are going to be driving up to Connecticut this week, and I'll probably have our stops planned out. I'll have a hotel room reserved on the way, know where I'm. So I don't like just driving along. So, you know, I got cured of that. I think my brother's laughing back there. I got cured of it. I don't know about him, but I got cured of it way back in 1981 when he drove with me out to Tulsa when I first went to Rhema Bible Training Center, and we struck out early about 4 a.m. that morning, and we, you know, making good time. We got to Little Rock, Arkansas, which would have been a good place to stop. You know, that's about 600, 550 miles from here. We got to Little Rock, and it's, you know, July, so it's like 4 or 5 in the afternoon. I mean, the sun's still way high. We're not going to stop here. I mean, what are we going to do, you know, for the 4 hours before it's time to go to bed? Let's keep going. Let's go to Tulsa. That's before the speed limit was 70, you know, and it took you 16 hours to get to Tulsa. So by the time we rolled into Tulsa, it was 9:30, and there was no hotel room in the entire city. And we rode around for the next 3.5 hours to finally at 1 a.m., we went all the way down to Bristow and Stroud. Did you ever go down that way? Down the I-44, all the way down, halfway to Oklahoma City. Somebody told us, says, well, that there's two towns down there. There might be a room there. We went all the way down there. There was no rooms. And so we came back and finally got into the Holiday Inn in Tulsa. There'd been a cancellation. It's at 1:30 in the morning. We rolled after leaving it. That I left my house at 3, I think. Went and picked him up. Got picked him up at 4. So we'd been driving 22 and a half hours. So I got cured of not having a plan. Now, we knew where we were going, but we didn't have our stops planned. So I like to plan. It was the point I was making there. And God believes in planning. But the other side of it is God won't show you the whole picture up front. Amen? God expects you to trust. Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. Think about that. See, a lot of people miss their season of call. They miss God in their season of calling because they want everything to be planned out for them. They say, I'm not moving till I know. Now, again, I'm not talking about doing something foolish, but I am talking about being willing to step out. When you know that God is speaking to you, when you know that God is calling you, and you say, you know, it's more important to me to obey God, I believe the provision will be there. I believe whatever I need will be there. I'm going to obey God. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So in this season of calling, the Bible says in verse 9, it says, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise. To have faith in your season of calling, and in really any other season in our lives, we have to do what Abraham did here. He dwelt in the land of promise. Well, what that says to me is he dwelt in the promises of God. The land of promise are the promises of God. Amen? We have to dwell. You know, God has given us so many promises in his word to live by, to stand on. What do? They give us faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So to have faith in that season of calling, we have to dwell in the promises of God. We have to dwell in that land of promise. Not just run through it every once in a while, but really dwell there. Really abide there. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Verse 11, Sarah was a partner with him in this. You know, it wasn't just Abraham. And verse 11 says, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Sarah received strength to do the impossible. She was long past the age of childbearing. And so by faith, she received strength, the physical ability to be able to conceive a child. So in your season of calling, if you'll follow God by faith, God will strengthen you to do the impossible. When God calls you, you may say, well, that looks impossible. I couldn't do that. But if you respond to him in faith, he will strengthen you to do the impossible. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. He will empower you to do what you otherwise could not do. That's what's so wonderful and special about the season of calling. Value that in your life. Don't despise God's calling, but value that season of calling. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. The result of responding to God by faith during your season of calling, we find in verse 12, because Abraham responded to God. Abraham and Sarah said, yes, God, we want to be a part of this. Yes, we respond to your plan, your calling on our lives. Verse 12 out of the New Living, it says, and so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead. A nation with so many people that like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there is no way to count them. Hallelujah. You cannot, as you stand looking at your season of calling, should I obey God? Should I step out? Should I do this? You never know what's on the other side of that. On the other side of responding to that call for Abraham and Sarah was a nation. A nation. Hallelujah. There's no calculating how God could use you as you respond to him in that season of calling in your life. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Well, the next one I want to talk about, let's skip down at verse 23. Now I've got to really hurry here. Verse 23, it says, by faith Moses, when he was born. So here's another season the season of when he was born, faith was exercised. Well, it wasn't Moses' faith that we're talking about here. It was his parents' faith. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child. And they were not afraid of the king's command. Praise God. So faith for the season of parenting. How many of you parents know that faith is essential? Amen. You have to have faith during this season of parenting that you're in. And so when Moses was born, his parents were in the season of parenting. And they exercised faith. They saw him. They took a look at him. They took a look at their son. And they saw a God-given destiny in him. Amen. Hallelujah. Parents, we need to see, we need to look at our kids with a God-given destiny. Amen. 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 One of your prayers ought to be, Lord, open my eyes to see the God-given destiny in my children. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so they did. Moses' parents saw that he had a destiny, a God-given destiny on their little child, on their little baby. I mean, he's a baby. He wasn't, you know, he didn't look like Charlton Heston at that time. His hair hadn't turned white at that time. He hadn't had the burning bush experience yet. He was just a baby. Amen? Amen. They did all the things that babies do, like Stephen Curtis Chapman sings. You know, he's just a little baby. But they saw a God-given destiny. Praise God. Faith for the season of parenting. Hallelujah. It takes, let faith motivate you in all that you do as a parent, preparing that child for their God-given destiny. Amen? Amen? Praise God. They saw potential in Moses. They committed him to God. Remember what they did? They, you know, there was an order going that all the baby boys were to be killed. They committed him to God. They said, Lord, you're going to preserve this child. You're going to keep this child. And they committed him to God. Amen? And God preserved him. God kept him. They had faith for God to watch over him. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So the next one, that's all the time we have on that. The next verse, verses 24 through 26, it says, by faith Moses, when he became of age. So we've got another season here. What is this? This is the season of growing up. The season of growing up. By faith, and this is talking about Moses' faith here being coming into play. By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. There came a point, you know the story about how Moses was rescued out of the river by Pharaoh's daughter, and she basically became his mother. She ended up, without knowing who it was, hiring Moses' mother to take care of him for her. Amen. Praise God. So Moses' mother got paid to raise her own son. But Moses grew up in Pharaoh's house. Moses grew up as royalty. Moses grew up with all the privilege of that. But there came a time in Moses' life, the Bible says, when he became of age, when Moses grew up, the Bible says here that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So there came a time where Moses had to choose his identity. And I'm glad we've got the kids in here with us. And of course, the teenagers are in here too. But there comes a time, young people, where you have to choose your identity. Who are you? Who are you going to be? Moses was faced with that decision. Am I going to be what the world defines me as, the son of Pharaoh's daughter? He said, no, I'm a Hebrew. No, I'm of the people of God. No, I belong to God. God has called me. God has a purpose for my life. Are you out there? Amen? Amen. So faith, Moses allowed his faith to determine his identity. Hallelujah. He said, you know, I am who God says I am, not who the world says I am. And he chose, the Bible says that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. And he esteemed the reproach of Christ as greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. So faith determined not only his identity, but he allowed his faith to determine who he would identify with as well. Amen. Not only do we, and the two are connected. Because if you don't identify with the right group you're supposed to identify with, then your identity will get all muddled and confused. Amen? So Moses allowed his faith to determine his identity. I'm not the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I'm a Hebrew. I'm Moses. And then the Bible says that he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. The people he chose to identify with were in slavery. They were in bondage. But he said, this is who I belong to. These are the people of God. It's not looking real good for them right now. They're not popular right now. They're not at the top of the heap in the culture right now. But that's who I am. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. So the third thing, so faith determined his identity. And he allowed his faith to determine who he would identify with. Amen. Amen. And you need to allow all of us, no matter what age, but particularly for our young people and our children, you need to allow your faith to guide who you identify with. Who are you? I'm a child of God. I'm a believer. I'm a spirit-filled believer. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the word of God. Amen? Amen. Praise God. But then thirdly, his faith enabled him to live not for the moment, but for the future. It says that he chose affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. In verse 25. And then in verse 26, it says he looked to the reward. Faith enabled him to live not for the moment, but for the future. Yes. We are to live in the moment, but not for the moment. You know, there's a difference. God wants us living in the moment. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. You live for now. You live in the now, not for the now. But you don't live for the moment. People that live for the moment don't think about the consequences of their actions, their decisions, what they're doing. People that live in the moment, but are not living for the moment, but for the future, they're living for right now, but yet they're realizing the decisions I'm making right now, the seed that I'm sowing right now, it's going to come up one day, good or bad. Amen? So we live in the moment, but not for the moment. We live for the future. We live with a perspective on eternity. I'm still going to preach a series in a few weeks here, won't be long now, on heaven and hell, because we need to have an eternal perspective. Amen? Praise God. All right, so let's go back then to, chapter, or verse 17 of chapter 11. We'll close this up. Here's another season here. In verse 17, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested. So God gives us faith for the season of testing. Amen. When he was tested was a season. Abraham went through a season of testing. And you will go through a season of testing in your life. Now, there's two types. When we talk about testing, people don't like to hear that. But there's two types of testing. And, we need to make sure that we identify this. Because there are tests and trials that Satan brings to try to get us to back off from the Word of God. Yep. Right? Okay? And that's not coming from God. Let no man, James said, let no man when he's tempted, or the word includes testing and trial, say that God is tempting me. And so God's not doing that kind. Amen? But there is a testing or a proving that God will do in our lives. Now, he doesn't put disease on you. He doesn't put you in a car wreck. He doesn't steal, you know, steal your money away from you. God's not doing stuff like that. But God will prove us. Rahm and I went over to Freedom Tabernacle last night. Her brother, John Paul, was preaching, and had a wonderful message, but something that really spoke to me because I was thinking about what I was going to share with you today anyway. He said that we need to recognize the difference between a battleground and a proving ground. I thought that was a very powerful statement. Recognize the difference between a battleground and a proving ground. God won't bring you into a battleground. Amen. The devil brings those up, and God gives us faith and authority to resist the devil and to stand our ground and to overcome in a battleground. But God will bring us into a proving ground. Amen. To work things in our life. To purify us. Hello? Don't quit on me now. Amen. So Abraham, we call this a season of testing. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, who tested him? God did. God's the one that said, I want you to take Isaac. I want you to go up to Mount Moriah, and I want you to sacrifice him. That was God, wasn't it? That wasn't the devil. Huh? Amen. So Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed should be called. Abraham, in the season of calling, received the promise. He received Isaac. Amen. The season of calling is a wonderful time. We receive the blessings of God. God is working and pouring things out into our lives. We receive the season of testing. And our faith does that. In the season of calling, we use our faith to receive. In the season of testing, we use our faith to offer back to God what we've received. You still aren't, or you're quiet because you're thinking. Amen? Praise God. Are you willing to do that? God saw that Abraham was. The Message Bible says, by faith, verse 17 through 19, out of the Message, by faith, Abraham, at the time of testing, offered Isaac back to God. Acting in faith, listen to this, acting in faith, he was as ready to return the promised son, his only son, as he had been to receive him. And this, after he had already been told, your descendants shall come from Isaac. Now, he had a promise. I want you to know something here. Abraham was, okay, now God, you know, He didn't put his arm around Job and say, the Lord is given and now the Lord is taken away. And Job said, yeah, that's right, Abraham. Blessed be the name of the Lord. No, that's not what he was saying. He had a promise. God already said, in Isaac your seed will be called. Isaac didn't have any little ones yet. That's right. They went up on their journey to Mount Moriah, and Moses told his servant, you're going to stay here. He said, the boy and I will go up on the mountain and worship, and we will return. Amen. He didn't shy away from this time of testing, but in this time of testing, he knew one thing. He knew, you know, God is faithful. Hallelujah. When you enter into a season of proving, where you know that God is leading you into that, you just know one thing. You know that God is faithful. God, I don't particularly want to go through this. God, I don't particularly, this is not my favorite thing to do, but I know you're faithful. And I know you're something good is going to come out of this. It's going to mean growth in my life. It's going to set things in motion that will put me forward in your plan. Are you out there? Hallelujah. So in the season of testing, we might not understand why God is requiring us to do what he tells us, but as we obey God and as we trust him, amen, then he'll prove his goodness, his provision, and his faithfulness. Hallelujah. Abraham got up there, and man, he was just taking every step. He didn't hesitate. He bound Isaac on the altar, raised up the knife, and the angel said, what are you doing? Look over there. There's a ram caught in the thicket. God provided. God provided. Abraham said, well, I was going to go through with it because even if I did, God, you said it's in through Isaac. If I killed him, you were going to have to raise him. He knew God was faithful. He knew God was faithful. Amen? God will be faithful to you in your season of testing and proving. Don't shy away from that. Don't be afraid to go through that. Dad Hagen talked about that in his book. You should get it. Must Christians Suffer? He talks about that. He differentiates the, no, we're not to suffer as the world, but God will put us in places to develop our character and to prove our character. Praise God. And we can trust Him. He'll be faithful. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, let's look at this last one real briefly, and then we'll close. Verse 21 and 22. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. This last one is faith for the season of dying. You know, it takes faith to live, but you know it takes faith to die. Amen. I heard Dad Hagen say that. You remember Brother Carl, him saying that many times. He said, yeah, it takes faith to live. He said, it takes more faith to die than to live, though. I mean, this is a man that preached healing, believed healing. Sometimes we think, well, that person must not have had faith. They died. You don't know what you're talking about. Amen? It takes faith to die. Look at what Jacob did. By faith, Jacob, it says, when he was dying, he blessed each of the sons of Joseph. So Jacob blessed the sons of Joseph, and he actually, if you read it, he blessed all of his children. What did he do? He released words that he believed would come to pass, even long after he was gone. That takes faith. Why? Because you're not there to help it along. Well, I'm believing, I'm confessing, and then what do? We do everything we can to, don't we? Don't we? To help it along. And some things we should do to help it along. Amen. If you're believing and confessing that you have a job or you have more money, then you need to get out there and do what you can do to help it along. But when you're dying and you release words and you know you're dying, that's got to be all God to bring that to pass. That's faith. It takes more faith to do that than if you're healthy and know that you can kind of do some things to help God out if necessary. Amen? It takes faith to be able to really, and I'm not trying to talk anybody into going anytime soon, but it takes faith to say, dear God, I trust you with my eternal destiny. I'm going to draw my last breath here. And after that, it's out of my control. But I trust you. That takes a lot of faith, doesn't it? It takes a lot of faith to look at your loved ones that you're leaving behind and say, you know, God, you're watching over them. You're taking care of them. Girls, as I was praying, this message, I thought, well, I couldn't get my minds off of you. It's just God that you're right here on the front row for me to talk to. Your mother was such a woman of faith. She had so much faith. Don't you ever forget that. She didn't die because she didn't have faith. She had tremendous faith. She made a decision to carry your little brother, even though it meant giving her own life. She knew the child would be all right. She had faith. She knew that God had already put so many wonderful things in you. She was able to release and go and be with the Lord. Tremendous faith. She was a woman of tremendous faith in her life and a woman of tremendous faith in her passing.
She's passed that along with your dad, certainly has passed that faith down to y'all. In every season of our lives, God is faithful. God is faithful. Whatever season that you're in, he said, well, maybe I missed my season of calling. Don't be discouraged. Abraham was 75 when God called him. Moses was 80 when God called him. I remember Dr. Sumrall saying, someone telling him, another minister telling him, well, Sumrall, you're over 50 and you're finished. And he went to God about that. He said, God, am I finished? God said, finished? You haven't even got started yet. So don't think, don't just think that your season of calling is when you're 20, 15, 20, 25 years old. You may have had a season of calling that you responded to at that time, but God has more. Whatever season that we're in, when we're called, when we're tested, when children are born, when we're growing up, or when we're dying, God gives us faith to leave a great testimony, to glorify Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we just love you today. Thank you, Jesus.